This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Jillian Jacobs, and with me are Hezrul Ashraf and Dashran Johan. So we are looking at roots and shoots today, and it began 30 years ago in Tanzania on primatologist Dr. Jane Goodall's front porch. So surrounded by a group of students who felt powerless to solve the problems around them, Jane encouraged them to use their voices and ideas to address the issues that they saw head on. And thus, Roots and Shoots was born. And today we're going to explore the global impact of this youth movement and also how our local chapter is working towards creating a roadmap with a better future for all in mind.
Yep, and as always, you can always send your thoughts and share them with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or send a WhatsApp message to 018-789-8899.
Yeah, so it was back on the 19th of February 1991, which is almost exactly 30 years ago, when a group of youths were chatting with Dr. Jane Goodall about how they felt powerless to deal with the problems facing them and the world around them. So as they shared stories and offered ideas, Jane had an aha moment and realized the solution was right in front of them, their power to create change. And so the Roots and Shoots program was born with the support of the Jane Goodall Institute. In essence, Roots and Shoots is a global movement that is focused on putting the power into the hands of young people to whom the future belongs. The movement wants to empower youths to use their voice and actions to make compassionate decisions and subsequently influence and lead change in their communities.
Yep, and the possibilities seem endless with Roots and Shoots, as they offer a flexible model that lets members customize projects to meet their group needs. And they also have a simple four-step Roots and Shoots formula, which is get engaged, observe, take action, and finally to celebrate. And the projects carried out by the youth across the world are quite wide-ranging. You know, they look at ways to reduce the number of denim that ends up in landfills, to making Valentine's Day cards for residents in retirement homes who have been in isolation due to COVID-19. And being a global and well-connected movement, Roots and Shoots offers a wealth of resources and networking opportunities for kids and teens, parents, students, and teachers. They continue to connect people of every age, race, culture, religion, or economic background in a vibrant international network. And they also offer opportunities for every individual to make the world a better place for people, animals, and the environment.
Yes, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Roots and Shoots, the movement, a bit later. But just to pivot slightly, we thought it'd be good for us to share a little bit about Dr. Jane Goodall herself, for those of you who are unfamiliar with her work. So the renowned primatologist, environmentalist, and humanitarian is considered to be the world's foremost expert on chimpanzees. Her extensive research into the behavior of chimpanzees, which first started in Africa in the 1960s, is said to have fundamentally altered scientific thinking about the relationship between humans and other mammals. So yes, it was back in July 1960 at the age of 26 when Jane travelled from England to what is now Tanzania and ventured into the little-known world of wild chimpanzees, equipped with little more than a notebook, binoculars, and also her fascination with wildlife. And, you know, just according to her own website, janegoodall.org, when she entered the forest of Gombe, the world knew very little about chimpanzees and even less about their unique genetic kinship to humans. So what she did was she took a very unorthodox approach in her field research, where she immersed herself in their habitat and their lives to kind of experience their complex society more as a neighbor rather than as a distant observer, which was what was being done in scientific studies back then. And she came to understand them not only as a species, but also as individuals with, you know, different emotions and long-term bonds.
Yeah, so Dr. Jane Goodall's discovery in 1960 that chimpanzees make and use tools is considered one of the greatest achievements of the 20th century scholarship. And her field research at Gombe transformed our understanding of chimpanzees and redefined the relationship between humans and animals in ways that continue to emanate around the world. In 1977, she founded the Jane Goodall Institute to support the research in Gombe and scale up the protection of chimpanzees in their habitats. So in the late 1980s, it became clear that Gombe was only part of the solution to a much bigger, rapidly growing problem of deforestation and declining chimpanzee population all across Africa. And knowing that local communities are key to protecting chimpanzees, she redefined traditional conservation with an approach that recognizes the central role people play in the well-being of animals and the habitat.
Right. And then, of course, as we mentioned earlier in 1991, when that group of young people confided their own deep concerns with Dr. Jane, she invited them to co-found Roots and Shoots. And that program now works with young people in 100 countries to foster the informed generation of conservation leaders our world so urgently needs. And as I mentioned earlier, to make the world a better place for people, right? Other than animals and the environment that we all share. And why the name Roots and Shoots, you may ask? Well, as Dr. Jane puts it, quote unquote, and I quote, I'm quoting her now, roots creep under the ground to make a firm foundation. Shoots seem new and small, but to reach the light, they can break through brick walls.
Oh, that's a lovely analogy. And, you know, I was really lucky back in 2019 to have actually caught up with Jane herself when she was in Malaysia for what was then her third visit. And she was here for the Roots and Shoots Malaysia Award 2019. And we had a really nice chat, you know, about how she ended up revolutionizing primate science, her journey from naturalist to activist, her work with the world's youth to address the climate crisis, and also, you know, just how she's staying hopeful, you know, even in these really trying times. And imagine this was pre-pandemic, yeah? And she, one thing about her, if you read, you know, any articles about her, she's always spoken about the role her family played in shaping her curiosity and interest towards animals. And one of the highlights of my conversation with her from that interview in 2019 was this story she shared about her mother. So have a listen.
Well, she supported who I was. I think children, they seem to be born. My sister and me couldn't be more different. Mm. The same mother. And, you know, I think the important thing is for mothers to support who their children are, unless there's bad behavior, which obviously has to be, you know, changed, possible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my mother never used any, she never slapped us. It was much worse. What she did, if she didn't like what we were doing, she'd be totally silent, and she'd walk around the room, pick things up, and put them down. It was terrifying.
But my favorite story, which you always share, is of the earthworms, and I wonder if you could share that as well.
Well, yes, she found I was 1.5, and I was in bed, and I'd taken all the wriggly earthworms, of course, earth, and, you know, lots of mothers, ugh, throw them out. But she just said, if you leave them here, they'll die. So we took them together out into the garden. But an even better story was when I was 4.5, we lived in London, so not so many animals. This animal-loving little girl. She took me for a holiday onto a farm, proper farm, not one of these terrible factory farms. Cows, pigs, horses out in the fields. Job to collect hen's eggs. I was given that job. And there were about 8 little hen houses where they slept at night, and they pecked around in the farmyard. And so I was going around each day with my little basket and putting the eggs in the basket. And apparently, I began asking everybody, but where's the hole where the egg comes out? I couldn't see such a hole. And nobody told me.
Right.
So what I remember vividly is seeing this hen. She was brown, and she was going into one of these hen houses. And I must have thought, ah, she's going to lay an egg. So I crawled after her. And of course, I can still feel her wing hitting me. She flew out with squawks of, you know, you don't want 4-year-old children crawling after you when you're going to lay an egg.
Of course.
So she sounded frightened. So again, in that little brain, I must have thought, well, no hen will lay an egg in this hen house. It's frightening. Mm-hmm. So I waited, and apparently I was gone 4 hours, waited in an empty hen house. And the hen came in, and she just positioned herself so I could see the egg coming out. And, you know, my mother by this time had called the police because they couldn't find me, and it was getting late. And then this excited little girl, so many mothers would grab the child, how dare you go off without telling, where the hell have you been? But she saw my shining eyes and sat down to listen to the story of how a hen lays an egg. So the reason I love that story, isn't that the making of a little scientist? Curiosity, asking questions, not getting the right answer, deciding to find out for yourself, making a mistake, not giving up, and learning patience. A different mother might have crushed that, and I might not have done what I've done.
And Jane certainly continues to nurture the dreams of other young ones, even till today, through her Roots and Shoots program. Here she is sharing with Juliet why she still has hope for our collective future, thanks to the youth of today, and why she thinks we need to get them connected with nature as early as possible.
One of the key aspects of our Roots and Shoots program, when it's in the city and, you know, kids who spend all their time looking at little screens, is to get them into nature. The younger you can do it, the better. So that's why I love our preschool and kindergarten groups, because to see the excitement, I mean, you can do very simple things that we used to do. You have a glass jar and you put some kind of absorbent paper around the edge, and you fill it with sawdust or earth or whatever and keep it damp. And you put a seed between the paper and the glass, and to see children, they watch the little roots come and they watch the little shoot. You could put it upside down and then the little shoot will turn around and the little roots will turn around. And it's just simple things like that. And one little boy, you know, so often children are told not to mess about in the dirt by their parents. Children would all mess about in the dirt if you give them the chance.
Of course.
And this little boy came to see us. He was 2 years old, and he got this snail. He was watching the snail. The snail was crawling along the stone, and he was watching it and watching it. Suddenly he picked it up, took it inside, or maybe he didn't, but anyway, he put it on the window pane and then ran round the other side to see what was going on. Well, I mean, that's a 2 year old. So give children the chance to be in nature. And I took one group of inner city kids. They were all African Americans, very poor part of Baltimore, I think. And they'd never been to the nearby river before. And at first it was, you know, then we gave them a little net. And they were, you know, pulling things out. And we'd taken a microscope down there. And they looked at these little tiny things and saw them under the microscope. And, you know, within 15 minutes, they were absolutely hooked. And in fact, the oldest of them, 18, he said, I want to get involved in this program. I want to go around the other schools. I want to get other kids to see this, because it'll change them. It's changed me, he said.
It's amazing.
So that's why Roots and Shoots are so special to me.
So that was Dr. Jane Goodall, and those were some excerpts from an interview I did with her back in 2019. We've got to take a quick break, but when we do come back, we'll speak to the president of the Malaysian chapter of Roots and Shoots, TP Lim, about what Malaysian youth are working on under the Roots and Shoots banner. So keep it here on The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, joined by Hezrul Ashraf and Dashran Johan. So today we're discussing the good work carried out by the Jane Goodall's Roots and Shoots program, which is all about making a positive change for communities, animals and the environment.
That's right. And this powerful youth-driven network is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. And we're exploring how this movement continues to, you know, work towards making our world a better place through community service projects, special events, and international campaigns. And now we want to find out more about Roots and Shoots Malaysia, the local chapter of the global movement, which first started in 2015. So joining us on the line now to share more about that is TP Lim, the president of Roots and Shoots Malaysia. TP, welcome. Thanks for joining us today. Now, to start with, how would you describe what Roots and Shoots is all about? And, you know, what would you say is the basic focus of the organization?
Roots and Shoots is a youth movement that was started by Dr. Jane 30 years ago. And I would say that the main focus of the organization is to encourage and to empower youths from all over the world for the youth to identify issues in their own communities and then to think of solutions and then roll up their sleeves and take action to solve those problems. It's very empowering because it asks of the youth to, instead of waiting for somebody else to deal with those issues, for themselves to know that they can make a difference.
TP, I know that you were the one who helped establish the Malaysian chapter of Roots and Shoots back in 2015. What inspired you to do that?
I was a volunteer at the time for another organization in Taiwan in 2009, actually, which was 6 years prior to the starting of the Malaysian chapter. And I met Dr. Jane for the first time in Taiwan, and I was totally mesmerized by her. I mean, I've seen her, I've seen all of her videos on National Geographic, and I've known of this amazing scientist called Jane. But when I met with her, she was already in her late 70s, and yet she was so filled with passion and energy. And when she spoke about the importance of youth, and giving them hope and giving them the energy and the power to be in charge of their lives and to make a difference in the world. I thought to myself, you know, that's an amazingly positive energy that needs to come to Malaysia. And so that's when I decided that I would ask her to join us in Malaysia. And then subsequent to 2009, every single year, every time she was in Asia, I would stalk her, literally. I would go to Hong Kong or go to Singapore or Australia, where she was, and say, hey, Jane, this is TP. I'm from Malaysia. When are you coming? And so finally, 6 years on, in 2015, she showed up. So that was how it happened.
Well done. All that persistence paid off. And I guess, you know, what was it like setting up Roots and Shoots here in Malaysia? You know, was it a difficult process in any way?
It wasn't difficult in so far as Dr. Jane was very kind. She didn't have any pressure. She just wanted to make sure that when she came to Malaysia, that there was an audience, you know, that she wouldn't be spending her time traveling all this way and not have a substantial audience. And so just to bear in mind that prior to COVID anyway, Dr. Jane was traveling 300 days out of the year. And so her schedules were often pre-booked at least a couple of years ahead. And so in order for me to justify her making the trip, I had to promise her that there would be at least 2,500 to 3,000 people that she would speak to when she came. And so, I mean, I was very lucky because at that time I had managed to secure some partners. Chief among them was Berjaya. As an organization, they were very supportive of Dr. Jane's work, and so they had helped to organize a very big conference space with 3,000 people. So that was the kickstart of the program. No, it wasn't difficult other than just getting people together. But having said that, it was not hard to convince people to come and meet this iconic Dr. Jane Goodall. So no, not difficult at all. And it's been such a fun ride since. Doesn't feel like a chore or hard work.
That's really excellent. And I know that you were also the person who introduced the Roots and Shoots Malaysia Award, or RASMA as it's known for short. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure, sure. So in the year 2019, we introduced this idea or this project called Roots and Shoots Malaysia Award. It is essentially a service-based award whereby youth will commit to volunteer at least 45, 55, or 75 hours of service. And then in return, they would earn a one-star, two-star, or three-star certificate, which is what the award is. And in the Malaysian context, what we found out was that many local NGOs that were doing amazing work were very unknown to local Malaysian youths. And so we thought we would set this system up where we would be like the matchmaker between youth volunteers and various NGOs in the fields of conservation and environmental protection. And of course, we received very generous support from our community partner, Yayasan Hasana. And also we had the support of about 20 local NGOs that came on board fairly quickly to say that they were willing to receive and train young volunteers. And so essentially we became like a buffet. So what you do is you come onto our website, you have a buffet of different NGOs or different partners that you could volunteer at. And then we would then arrange for time and a place for these volunteers to show up and do the work.
That's wonderful. TP, can you also share some of the projects that the Malaysian chapter has and is currently working on?
Sure. In the case of Roots and Shoots Malaysia Award, we work with about 20 different NGO partners. And in the year 2020, we had 53 selected volunteers who contributed a total of more than 5,200 hours of volunteer time. That's for RASMA. Besides that, we also have a collaboration with a social enterprise called Leap Ed Services, as well as NGO partners such as the Habitat Foundation in Penang. We have the help of organizations like Yayasan Hasana, Asia Pac. So we have a project with them that's called EcoWira. We provide extracurricular environmental education programs for 41 national schools. Our Roots and Shoots youth have also run fundraising projects to raise funds for much-needed medical funds for kids with cancer at the UMMC Pediatric Ward. And right now, we're embarking on a project called Eco Watawan, which aims to train Malaysian youth to create micro-videos on Malaysia's nature and biodiversity. So we have projects which are fairly wide-ranging because the Roots and Shoots ethos is to help animals, help the environment, and help human beings. So essentially, we kind of cover a pretty broad range of projects. And every year, new projects do spring up. So look them up in our website. We can stay in touch that way.
Roots and Shoots is a volunteer-based group. So can you tell us about previous volunteers who have been involved in Roots and Shoots work and some of the projects they've worked on? Perhaps there are success stories that you can share with us.
Yes, definitely. We are very, very proud of all the youth who have come forward to contribute their time. I think Malaysian kids or Malaysian youth have amazing potential. And, I'll share with you some examples of, success stories. For example, we have a group of the RASMA alumni from 2019 who have, after the RASMA program, and after they got to know each other, and they're like kindred spirits, right? So they've come together to form a community of eco-heroes of Malaysia, which is called YUFE, which is Y-U-F-E, Youth Unite for Earth. And what it is a community of researchers, scientists, influencers, community leaders, young people in Malaysia who are actively protecting or doing conservation work to protect Malaysia's nature and biodiversity. And we're so proud of them because what they've managed to do is to basically create this really strong camaraderie among different practitioners of conservation in Malaysia to know about each other and then to collaborate and do more amazing work together. We also have a young lady called Fatin, who after she went and volunteered at the Belum State Park and spent some time with the Jahai Orang Asli, she's now pursuing her master's degree with a specific research topic related to the Jahai people. And so I think she's really enjoying herself learning more about the importance of the Orang Asli in the conservation of Malaysia's rainforest. And we also have another young fashion designer who started a handmade fashion business that promotes low and sustainable fashion, because we all know that the fast fashion industry is a major pollution contributing industry. And so she wanted to encourage young people to spend their money and their consumer power on things slow fashion, which I thought was a fascinating approach. So we have many young Malaysians who have come out of the RASMA program and become quite passionate about pursuing different careers to making Malaysia a better place. So for that, we're very happy and very proud.
Yes, and as you should be, you know. And, you know, I understand that there are over 150,000 active groups in over 130 countries under Roots and Shoots. So how exactly does this network connect youth from all these different countries to make a change?
We are quite well connected through social media, and each country's Roots and Shoots groups are pretty active also online. Now, Roots and Shoots groups are organically grown in different parts of the world, and each group is able to grow and address issues specific to the local needs and the local communities. And yet, we all function in the knowledge that we are part of this much larger group and much larger movement that is changing the world piece by piece in different aspects and in different regions. So we kind of liken ourselves to the Christmas lights, you know, on a Christmas tree. So individually, you look at each light and then you think, oh, you know, it's very insignificant, it's very small. And yet we feel that if we shine our personal best and we connect with all the other people from around the world shining their personal best, in this way, the whole world can be lit up. And so that's how the Roots and Shoots program works as well. I think we draw a lot of energy, a lot of hope, and a lot of passion from the knowledge that we are not alone, and that, you know, even if it's a single plastic bag that I refuse to use today, or even if it's one single animal that I'm saving, I know that there are hundreds and thousands more young people around the world who are doing the same. And so in that, we draw strength and hope.
That was a really lovely analogy that you brought up. And I guess I just have to ask you this, you know, about the year that was. So, I mean, 2020 threw us all a curveball, right? How did the pandemic affect Roots and Shoots Malaysia and the work that you guys do?
Yes, indeed. The year was, it kind of just flashed by. We all have, we all have rather challenging memories about the year that, went past. I think the major change or major effect to the Roots and Shoots activities was the fact that we couldn't do a lot of our on-ground activities. So what we had done was to pivot a lot of the volunteer work into online volunteering. And then what we discovered was, for example, a lot of NGOs, they could rely on our youth and their talents to create social media campaigns. They were also able to contribute their design and technical knowledge to do a lot of the online work for the NGOs. I want to stress that actually NGOs already work very hard under pretty limited resources anyway. So with the COVID, I think their financial resources, their volunteer resources have all depleted. And so they continue to be struggling. And I want to encourage all your listeners to find ways to contribute to NGOs. And also, I think what the COVID pandemic has done for us is to remind us to be respectful of nature. I think with illegal wildlife trading, with the very impoverished living conditions of animals, both in captivity as well as in farms, there are so many opportunities for diseases to jump species. So we have to remember that the pandemic, whilst it is something that happens in nature, it is in many ways contributed by human behavior. And so in the same way that AIDS, SARS, COVID-19 have devastated the world because of our disrespect for nature and animals, it is a very important reminder for all of us to watch out for how we behave in the future so that we could prevent such a difficult and challenging pandemic overtaking the world.
Yes, we must heed the call to build back better. And speaking of that, right, if youths would like to volunteer for Roots and Shoots to build their own projects, how can they get involved?
Yes, absolutely. We are very excited to welcome volunteers who are aged between 16 to 25 to look us up on our official Roots and Shoots Malaysia Award website, which is rootsandshootsaward.my. Where they can find out more about this year's program. We will be launching the program in March of this year, but the voluntary time actually will begin sometime in July, all the way through to October. Subject, of course, to the pandemic, to the SOPs and safety regulations, which may be laid out by the government. Also, we want to highlight that there's always opportunities to volunteer online. So regardless of what the SOPs may be, come July to October, there will always be opportunities for those of you who would prefer to do it that way. You can volunteer online, and we have many opportunities for that. the simple pathway, I guess, is to go to our website, rootsandshootsaward.my, to find out more.
Right then, and what should the youth prep themselves for if they do want to volunteer?
To be really honest, all that we ask for is your willingness to learn and to contribute. Because it's so much fun to be able to volunteer, and there's so many different types of exposure that our youth can be exposed to. You could be working in a sun bear rehabilitation center or a turtle sanctuary. You could be in the middle of a rainforest doing research or setting up camera traps. You could be joining the rangers who are patrolling the rainforest against poachers. And then you could also choose to volunteer online and do creative work, design work, or technical work for and on behalf of the NGOs. So the opportunities are immense. And as long as you're interested and you're willing to spend time to contribute, we want you.
All right. And Roots and Shoots are celebrating their 30th anniversary this year. Before I let you go, TP, is there any last message you'd like to leave us with?
Well, I'd like to end by quoting Dr. Jane. Dr. Jane has, amongst other things, have always said that every day we make a difference in the world that we live, and we can choose what kind of difference we want to make. So I think the main message that Roots and Shoots wants to share with the world is that you, as an individual, in the way that you live, in the way that you shop, in the way that you travel, in the way that you consume, makes a difference in the world. So please choose how you want to make that difference well. I think that will be a message I'm sure Dr. Jane will be sharing throughout this year as we celebrate 30 years of Roots and Shoots.
Well, on that note, thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was TP Lim, the president of Roots and Shoots Malaysia.
Yep, and if you'd like to volunteer with them or find out how you can partner with Roots and Shoots Malaysia, do head to rootsandshootsaward.my. And if you'd like to find out more about Jane Goodall, you can visit janegoodall.org or rootsandshoots.org.
Yes, I think there's plenty of opportunities, especially for the young ones, you know, as we heard in the clip from Dr. Jane earlier, right? I mean, you know, get them as young as possible. So get your young ones, you know, to volunteer. It can be, as you know, as you mentioned, it can be anything, any sort of project, right? Any small things that you notice in your community. So, just head to those websites and find out more. And just get them involved and get yourselves involved as well in any way that you can. But that's all the time we have for today's show. If you miss any part of it, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can find it on the BFM app, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or even on Google Podcasts. And if you have any thoughts, you can always continue to share that with us. Just tweet us at BFM Radio or send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. But don't go anywhere, because coming up at 3 p.m., Hez here will be sticking around to look at COVID-19 vaccinations from a religious perspective, right?
Yeah, so medical experts are concerned that there might be Muslim Malaysians who might hesitate to take the COVID-19 vaccines that are arriving soon based on a religious ground. So I'll be speaking with Ustazah Safina Zainal from JAKIM to understand what Islam has to say about vaccines in the first place, and how religious authorities are going to help instill, you know, public confidence to vaccinate, you know, as much of the Muslim population here as possible.
Okay, so that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. But that's it from us from the Daily Digest. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.